Hello and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show. This is Retro Asylum episodes 3 to 8, hopefully, if all goes well. With me is Steve and Mark.
Hello.
How are you both doing, guys?
Great.
I'll let Mark go first.
I'm here. Yeah.
Go, Mark.
Yeah.
Let's test your connection.
Yeah, let's see. Wi-Fi is holding up. It didn't hold up for the first 3 minutes. I warned these guys. I'm like, Wi-Fi is giving me grief. And instantly we hit record. We start going and I'm gone. That was it. I thought I got booted. I got canned.
The best laid plans.
Yeah. So far it's holding tight. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Steve, it's been a while.
It has been a while, mate. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, thanks. Has it been since the Christmas episode? Since
it has, yes. Neither of us have been on.
We are a disgrace.
2 months?
We are a disgrace, man.
We are the new Matt.
We're the new Matt, man. I should be Matt 2, you could be Matt 3. It's terrible because obviously, like, you know, we're like the A team, you know, we are the top, we are the show.
We've had to let the part time staff fill in for us. Mark,
like, you know, like when you just leave the cleaners in charge for a bit because everyone's gone on holiday. But then see that the good thing is like that we've upgraded Mark, we've invited Mark to the top table.
It's gone great. I thought I got sacked, but here I am. Now I'm bouncing back and forth. I mean, we may have talked about me recording. I don't know. Is this going to come out before the Castlevania episode?
No, this will be after.
It'll be after. Well, I guess I got to get editing that Castlevania one quick then, huh?
There's no rush, man. This is mine and Dean's mid-year episode.
Yeah, and then we'll be back come out Christmas. In the summer.
Well, here's the problem. If we do the shortlist episode, that's kind of part of this one too, right? We have to get that released before the end of. We usually try to get 2-3 days before March or the end of the beginning of the next month, so that people have time to vote, so they can start playing.
That's right. Well, you're already in both of them, so you're just gonna have
fine.
To work hard.
Fine, mate. No worries, man.
Okay.
Oh. Poor Mark.
You know they had me up till
I'm joking. I know.
They had me up till 2:30 in the morning this morning recording. They just kept talking. They loved Castlevania. Or did they? I guess we'll find out.
No secrets. Yeah, given away.
Well, they should already know, hopefully.
Did Mads swear all over the episode?
He may have dropped one swear word. I know I said damn. I think that one we can let go. But I know he went a little bit more sour. And you know Mads only swears when he gets really happy. So, yeah.
Mads is like now like the potty mouth of the podcast, though, isn't he? He's like, he just can't help himself.
He's getting used to his playthrough.
He's lowering the tone.
His playthrough antics.
Lowering the tone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I have to remind him. We are not playthrough. Different show.
This is true. So anyway, folks, this episode is getting done on the fly, basically. We really have got like a very, very loose plan of what we're doing because we think we're like such awesome personalities that we could just busk it. So I'm going to put that to the test. So today, gents, we're going to chat about a few things that we've sort of cobbled together retro-wise, things we've been talking about in our chat, things that have been going on in the retro world. And and also, like you say there, the shortlist for the Game Club are going to crowbar in at some point during this as well. Mark's going to take the lead and tell us what to do. And then we're going to get rid of some of the awful games he's just showed us on YouTube.
They're all phenomenal games. All 8. Well, we have 8 games to... That's going to take some time.
I wouldn't go that far, Mark. There's at least one game there that if I played it when I had a CD32, I would have thrown it straight out of the window.
I can't wait to hear which one this is.
I'll let you guess.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that at the right time.
Yeah. So if you have a look at our list of things to chat about, and we'll just plow our way through and hopefully It might be entertaining. It might be the worst episode we've ever done.
Well, I think it's been 2 months. We've got to catch up with you guys. They've all heard what I've been up to. What have you guys been doing? I mean, honestly, it's like 2 months. It was Christmas 2 months ago today. That's crazy.
Well, I've been getting ready for this episode. And then the next thing I'll be doing is getting ready for 8-Bit Wars Christmas Part 3. No. So, I've been, I think the same with Dean. I've just been working loads, doing a lot of music stuff. The girlfriend's almost moved into my house.
You've been on the Steam Deck quite a bit, haven't you?
I've been on the Steam Deck. Yes, that's true. Now I have to go on the Steam Deck on the loo, mostly, because obviously, like I said, the missus has kind of moved in now, so I can't just have it just sit here with the Steam Deck telling it how much I love it. I have to take it to the bathroom.
So are you just playing retro games on this, Steve, or
no,
are you playing modern stuff as well?
I'm playing all sorts on it, so I absolutely love this thing. It's quite weird, because all the handhelds I've got in the past, I've enjoyed them and I've really had fun with them, but you know what I'm like?
And sold them.
Bored. I sold them, yeah. I get bored pretty fast. I've got like a really short attention span. And all the other things I've had, all of the Ambinix and even the square one you were recommending, which I did get.
The RGB 30 that's also RGB. Disguised as a incendiary device.
The new, yeah.
To Matt.
B stands for bomb. So, yeah, I don't know if we posted or mentioned that this.
No,
anyway,
we haven't. We haven't.
Have we not?
No.
Okay, so let's just follow this scatty line of thought we're on to now. But so Matt also got the RGB 30 on Dean's recommendation. The RGB 30 is the PowKiddy square screened handheld. That's very popular at the moment. Everyone's raving about it. It's got a 720p display. I think you can play all the way up to a PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, is it?
PlayStation 1.
PlayStation 1 and
Sega
64.
Yeah.
32 bits.
Yeah, ish.
Pretty well. Ish, pretty well. But it's got a really nice square screen, which is brilliant for like arcade shooters, Game Boy.
Yeah, your vertical games look nice on it. Game Boy games look phenomenal on it.
Brilliant, because of the square ratio on it. It looks brilliant. So I picked up one over Christmas. Matt's got one. You've got one. But I've also picked up, or recently got, the Steam Deck OLED.
Yeah.
And that has just blown everything out of the water for me, unfortunately. So even when I've wanted to go and play these other ones, I've just found myself back on the Steam Deck.
But that doesn't explode, does it?
No, so this is the exciting thing. About the RGB, which Dean sneakily didn't tell anyone when we bought them.
Well, I didn't know. It's a bonus feature.
He says he didn't know, but it's like, interesting that Matt only appeared on one episode last year, and he's the one that got the special.
Special edition. Special edition. You've got the special edition with the extra content in the battery. So Matt messages us the other night, and he goes, is anyone else's Steam Deck? PowKiddy
RGB 30.
Has anyone else's started to like bevel at the back? And we're like, what? And then he showed us a picture, and like the back just like looked pregnant. It just went fat. And then he took the back off, and the battery itself, which is normally flat, just it looked like a sponge. It like expanded to like twice its size, and it looked ready to explode as well.
Yeah, it seems to be getting bigger and bigger every picture he took.
Yeah. In the end, he said he put it in a box in the garden, like he really had, because he was scared that it was just going to blow up. It looks bad. I'm sure, didn't you post it on some sites, Dino, you know, just to warn people?
I did, on the PowKiddy RGB30 Facebook page. That's a mouthful. I just wanted to warn people not to charge this thing and leave it unattended, because I have recommended this to a few people, and you know, my one has been fine. I just use the lead that it came with to charge it up with. I'm not sure if Matt done the same thing. I don't know if he's used some sort of fast charging device, maybe. I'm not saying it's Matt's fault. He might not have done. And
probably is. It's probably Matt's fault.
It probably is Matt's fault. He probably charged it underneath his pillow or something.
This wouldn't have happened if he turned up more. If he turned up to more episodes, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Says us.
We've hardly been on at all. But it's strange. And, my main complaint about the unit for my one is the battery doesn't last too long.
We'll get Matt's battery. It'll last twice as long.
Twice as big, yeah.
No, you're right. Yeah, twice as big. But other than that, it's been a really good experience. But, you know, these Chinese-made devices, they're pretty cheap to buy. And I would say to anyone who has got one, just keep an eye on it while you're charging it. Don't put it on charge overnight or anything like that while you're asleep, because you might find you've got no house left in the morning. Yeah, just be careful, because, like I say, they're cheap devices. We don't know what kind of quality control they go through. And Matt's one obviously had quite a major problem.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think he's probably just plugged it into a fast charger, because that's what I did with mine. I've got like a USB-C lead that I'm like, I charged the MacBook with. I'm looking, using it now.
Yeah.
And it's got a fat, powerful plug on the end.
Mm.
And sometimes I'll just charge other devices up with it. So if he's done that, it could be like too much
juice. It could be. I'm not saying it is, you know, and I just think we need to be very cautious with these things. So, yeah, just be careful.
But saying that, if you're willing to take the risk and risk your life, it's a good device.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I think
it's that square screen is really cool.
Me, Mads, and Chris just kept our Mio Minis. I don't think any of us have bought them, have they?
Yeah, see, I've got a Mio Mini, and since I've had the RGB 30, it's not really had much use. I like it, but remember, I am the dinosaur of the group. At the age of 49, my eyes, you know, they prefer a bigger screen, and the screen on the RGB 30, when it works, is fantastic.
Well, this is the thing, so yeah, I like I say, I've got a Mio Mini as well, which is perfect for throwing in the bag. But because I've gone from the Steam Deck to the Steam Deck OLED, that thing is just unbelievable.
Dull. Yeah, the screen on, it's the thing, when you use an OLED screen, they do tend to make other devices look a bit crap.
Well, it's just, it's like such a powerful device. At first, I just threw a load of emulators on it, and I was like, oh, this is cool, I can do all the emulation. Then I realized it could do like anything, like right the way up to the Switch.
Yeah,
just play everything. It'll play Xbox, it'll play PlayStation 2, it'll play PlayStation 3.
Do you find it uncomfortable at all? Because I've heard they're quite heavy.
No, and this, so it's, the ergonomics on it are really nice, right? Really nice. And then this latest model is a little bit lighter than the last one, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. And then it's,
but they're for people with loads of money, they're expensive, aren't they?
Trying to do this down, Dean. I'm not going to let you. It's,
I'm not doing you down. It's
amazing.
Yeah, a yuppie like yourself hasn't got a problem just splashing out 250 quid here and there.
Listen, darling, I'm not a yuppie. No, they're not cheap. So saying that, we say they're not cheap. Like, my first one I got for 200 quid. I got an absolute bargain, like secondhand. And it was, but it was brand new in a box.
Yeah, stolen.
It was stolen.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
No, it wasn't. So, but this guy, so I was watching them on Facebook Marketplace because I was dying to get one. I didn't want to spend loads, but they were like bobbing around 275, 300 quid ish if you got a good price on it. And I was like messaging people, and I was like, and then this one popped up while I was at my sister's barbecue in the summer. Just popped up while I was on my phone, and it was 200 quid, and it was like 6 miles away. I was like, holy crap. I've got to get this. So I was messaging the guy. I'm like, is it still available? Still available. And I'm just waiting for him to read it. I'm sitting at a barbecue, ignoring everyone. Come on. And then he answered, and he was like, yeah. And I was like, is it legit? And he's like, yeah. I said, why are you selling it? He said, I bought a laptop, a gaming laptop, and I just need some money back to pay towards the laptop.
Right.
I said, have you got the receipt? He said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, I'll be there in 20 minutes. And he was like, cool. So I went down, met him, saw his new laptop, saw the receipt. And I was like, why have you done it so cheap? And he said, because I didn't want anyone to haggle with me. I don't want to argue, and you know, he said, I just want to get a bit of money.
Yeah.
I'm happy to get the cash in my pocket, and that's that done. And I was like, perfect. Give him the cash, come home, and got the original Steam Deck. And I loved it.
Nice.
It's such a boss bit of kit, and it was 200 quid. And I put a new hard drive in it because it was the 64 gig, and I put it up to 512. And I got a memory stick in it as well, so that took it up to a terabyte in total. I loved it, absolutely loved it. And then I saw the new one come out.
The OLED.
But I was like, I can't afford it. I just can't afford it. Even if I flogged the first one, it's still like 400 and something quid, 450 quid.
Yeah.
So I can't do it. And then, like out of nowhere, like magic, the Spectrum Next turned up, which I'd backed 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And that arrived, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want this anymore. And the reason is not because it was crap or anything like that. The reason being was because you had got me to get a Mister.
Which you can play Spectrum Next games on, yeah.
Which can play Spectrum Next games. But the Mister's awesome. The Mister's just, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But it does everything the Specky Next does, and it does 500 more things than the Specky Next does. It's absolutely awesome. So my need for a FPGA computer had just gone out the window a couple of years ago when I got the Mister, and that's just been sat in the ether waiting for it to turn up. And then it did. And I was like, I don't want this now. I'm just not going to use it. And no, I'm not. So I was going to flog it on eBay. I saw they were going for about 700 quid. And I was like, you know what? There's loads of people in that group, the Specky Next Facebook group, asking about them. I'll offer it for 600 to anyone in the group. They're going for 7. I'll offer it for 6 to people in the group. And someone, funnily enough, not even someone in the group, someone who I used to go to school with that I haven't seen for 25 years messages me out the blue. Just goes, if you got that Spectrum Next, I went, yeah, can I have it? And I was like, of course you can. He said, I'll bring the cash around tonight. I'll have a beer and a catch up. And I was like, cool. So this guy I haven't seen for years turns up on my front door. And we sat and talked for like 2 hours. A couple of beers in the house, talked about school, what we've done since we left school, like life, what have you married? Where do you live now? Talks about his kids in a band, I do music. And it was brilliant. And then even better, he gave me £600. For the
he's gonna hear this probably and be like, man, I thought we were mates. Now he all he wanted was my money.
No, he's awesome, man. He's awesome. Shout out to Eric from school, man. You're a legend. But he was a Specky fan. He was telling me he was a Specky fan.
Sounds like Eric from school days.
Well, it is Eric from my school days. it was cool. So he was telling me, I was like, why are you buying this? And he was like, oh mate, I had a Specky when I was in school. I loved it. I love me Specky.
He didn't say to you, I listened to this podcast and I really bigged it up.
Yeah, Dean said to get it. So anyway, yeah, so that was the thing. So he took the Steam Deck, he gave me £600. I made a friend of the NC for years. And then I was like, I've now got £600 burning a hole in my pocket. And I need to buy something with it. And I was just like, oh, crap, what am I going to do here? And then I just kept seeing, like, I think it was it Matt and Chris that picked up the OLED Steam Decks?
Yeah, the rich people. Have you got one, Mark?
No, I've steered clear of the Steam Decks. Yeah, I hardly pick up my Steam.
Yeah, I think for me, it would be overkill.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because I don't get time to play the modern stuff. And just for emulating old games, I know it does it really, really well, but it's too pricey for me.
I know, I get that, mate. I totally get that. But realistically, it's almost the equivalent of your Mister, sort of.
Yeah, in handheld form.
In handheld form. It's not going to plug into a telly. Well, it can, but it's not going to do what the Mister does in a realistic way. But it's going to give you every single thing you want to play. Perfect performance, perfect resolution, perfect display, and you're going to be able to throw Vectrex. It does Vectrex, and you can put filters on, and not only that, because it's on an OLED, it glows, which the Vectrex does. Yeah, it looks really nice. Does the Vectrex, does them all. And that's the thing with it. So like I say, I blew £450 on the new OLED Steam Deck. I sold the original one to a guy in work, and I sold him it for 200 quid. It's what I paid for it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to pass this on because it's an absolute bargain. And he was like biting my hand off. So shout out to Mark from work as well. I think he might listen to us sometimes. So he took that. I ended up with a little bit of money left in my pocket, and I ended up with the OLED Steam Deck. And I just keep finding more stuff that it can do.
Yeah.
And I just keep stealing more games off the internet. No, I don't really. I don't really do that. I buy them off Steam.
So the question is, Steve, is this going to be the device that sticks?
That turns me.
Is it going to grow old with Steve?
It's a good question.
You mean you take it to the bathroom and tell you how much you love it?
Yeah. So this is the thing. Like, I brought it out of the bathroom the night, and my missus was on the couch looking at me, and she's like, "You did that thing again." And I was just like holding the Steam Deck going, "Don't listen to her. Don't listen to her. I love you. I love you the most. Shh. Don't say that to my Steam Deck." But I keep playing it. And that's the point, right? Because everything else, I last a month or so when I get bored and it goes on a shelf and I don't go back to it.
That's signs of a good product then, surely. Yeah, or something that at least suits your needs.
I play it every single day.
Yeah.
Just something for 10 minutes when I'm going to go to bed and I sit on the loo for 5 minutes and I'll just boot up an old game and then, or I'll boot up a new game or I'll just try stuff on it. And I think with the new games, what's kind of impressed me is what it can do. Even though I'm not a big new game fan, but I'll put something on it and like,
Powerful device, isn't it?
It's powerful. So, you know, like the graphics will be awesome and it'll just be like running at 90 frames a second on like a PlayStation 5 style game, like Spider-Man. And you're just like, holy crap, it's doing this. I'm holding this thing in my hands and it's just bang. So, it's winning so far. Like, I keep going back to it.
Yeah.
And that's the one, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
You found your soulmate. That's good. We'll see.
It is.
Come Christmas time.
And the other thing with come Christmas, well, ask me again at Christmas and we'll see. But the other thing is, like, so my RGB 30 hasn't exploded, or at least the person who bought it off of me hasn't told me that it's exploded. so that's gone. I sold that last week. I had a nightmare selling that thing.
Really?
That was a nightmare. I did. I put it on Facebook Marketplace. I could have sold 100 because everyone was messaging me about it. Everyone was messaging me. And people kept saying, I'll come tonight. And then he wouldn't show up. I'll come tomorrow. Then he wouldn't show up. And I was just getting fed up. You know, like, I was like, I'm going to take this down because I'm getting so sick. I've had like 4 or 5 people like set a time that they're coming round and then didn't show up.
See, this is the trouble. I've got so much stuff that I would like to sell, really. Mm. Including my Amiga CD32, funnily enough. But I don't get time to get to a post office to post stuff. So eBay's a bit awkward for me. Because where I live, the post office isn't open of a Saturday. It means driving miles and miles to get somewhere. And because I live in quite a remote place, anything you stick on Facebook, I get, can you deliver it? No, I'm not driving around to your ass where I... Yeah. Or you'll get people turn up and they'll try and haggle with you on the spot.
Yeah.
And it does my head in. You know, with agreed a price, you come round, you're buying it, and then you're trying to offer me less. It'd be different if it was in a bad state when you see it compared to the pictures I put online. But it just annoys me. So a lot of stuff I just hang on to. I don't bother selling it because... I can't be bothered with the grief.
Well, I mean, I got something similar with that, selling that RGB, because, like, one guy, he messaged me and he went, I'll take it, great. And I was like, what's on it? And I sent him a picture and all. I said, he said, brilliant, I'll come round at, like, 12 tomorrow. I was like, cool. And then at 11 the next day, he starts messaging me and he goes, will you take 40 quid for it? I said, no, it's 50. Well, go on, take 40. I said, mate, I've got 25 people waiting to take this off me. So if you don't want it, then I'll just pass it to the next person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine, I'll have it. Can I pay by a bank transfer? I said, no, it's cash. I said on the advert, it's cash. Okay, what about PayPal? I said, no, it's cash. I haven't got cash on me. I'm in Old Swan. I said, there's 5 cash points in Old Swan. That's where my bank is. And he just went, oh, forget it then. And I was like, oh,
you get all the scam artists as well. Whenever I try and sell something on Facebook... The last thing, I can't remember what it was, but can I send the courier to collect it?
Mm.
And then it'll be, like they want to do some sort of dodgy bank transfer or something. Just know it's a scam straight away.
I got scammed. I actually got scammed a few years ago. Like the only time I've been properly scammed is I got a PlayStation Vita from work. Right. There was a sale on through staff sales or whatever. So I picked one up cheap. When it just come out, and I got it like £100 less than its asking price. So I threw it on eBay and I sold it for like below the proper asking price, but I was making like 50 quid on it. So it was like £200 or something. And this guy bought it and he went, I'll take it. And I was like, cool. And he went, what's your PayPal? So here's my PayPal. Cool. Paid. And I was like, great. And I looked in my PayPal. There's the money. I withdrew it. Bang. Thanks very much. And then he messages me about an hour later and he goes, I couldn't do us a favor, could you? Instead of posting it straight to me, can you post it to this address? Because it's for my nephew for his birthday. So I was like, yeah, all right, no problem. What's the address? So he gives me this address, which I then get up the next morning, go and post it to him, to that new address, send him the confirmation, delivery, all the rest of it. And then about, I don't know, that night, like 12:45, I get a message from PayPal that I've been paid with a fraudulent account and they've withdrawn the money back and it's gone. Oh, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I ring PayPal up and I'm going, what's going on? And they went, that account, the pager, that was fraudulently hacked and that account's not accurate. Why have you got this money from them? And I was like, I've sent them a device. And so what's the score? And they went, did you send it to the address on PayPal? And I went, no, they changed the address. And they went, well, you're not covered then. So it was gone, and the money had gone as well.
Lesson learned. That sucks.
Yeah. There's some low lives out there, unfortunately.
That's it. I went on Google Maps and Google Earth and found a new address, and it was like a high-rise block of flats that looked like a drug den in like East London or somewhere. And I was like, oh, my God. I rang the police, but it was like just nothing he could do.
Yeah.
So,
grim. So when we hear about a building exploding in East London, we won't ask questions.
No questions asked, man. Nothing to do with me. No backsies. No. No backsies. So, yeah, so that's me with the Steam Deck anyway. But what was your question? I've been playing all sorts on it. Retro gaming, modern gaming, all sorts. I mean, I was playing that one that was made by Eugene Jarvis.
Fraud Simulator?
That was it. What was it called? Oh, was it awesome? It's like it's a twin-stick shooter, but it's modern. It'll come to me, but Eugene Jarvis was involved in making it, and it's an absolute monster, to just frenetic explosions everywhere, twin stick shooter.
Nice.
Deus Ex, not Deus Ex. So like a
modern Robotron.
Yeah, but like unbelievable graphics. Mm. But the gameplay in it's just rock solid, so good.
I like twin stick shooter games. I'm no good at them, but I sure like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about you guys?
Dean, what's you been doing?
What have I been doing? Well, there's been loads of redundancies at my firm, so I've been working hard just to keep my job.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's always a good thing, isn't it? But, no, one thing I did do, I got a Raspberry Pi 4, and I dug out my RGB Pi. Remember that? Which I was recommending before the Mister come out. They've updated their operating system to work on a Raspberry Pi 4. And Star Wars is on that. And I thought, it's going to look rubbish on a normal CRT screen. You know, because it's a vector game. And normally if you try and play a vector game through emulation on a normal screen, it looks rubbish. But they've added some glow to the vectors so they don't look pixelated, and I've been playing that quite a bit, so I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I am a big fan of that original Atari arcade game, so I've been playing that quite a bit. But other than that, not a great deal really. The cabs are on a couple of times a week. I'll have a quick game of a few different arcade games, but I've not really focused on anything. Been playing the same game over and over.
Star Wars Arcade is such a classic.
There's a question for you, Dino, because you kind of such a cool game, Star Wars Arcade. So you kind of alluded to this before when you were talking about trying to flog some of your stuff.
Yeah.
So now that you play mainly with the Mister, how much of your stuff would you just now get rid of?
I don't know. This is the thing. I've had the Mister now for a good couple of years, and it's very rare I use any of the real hardware. I dug out my Atari 2600, plugged that into a TV, it's when the Atari 2600 Plus came out. You know, there's a lot of hype on the internet about plugging cartridges in, and I do miss that. So I thought, I'll dig out my Atari 2600, hook it up to a CRT, and plug a cartridge in. I'll probably messed about with it for about a week. Then I went back to the Mister because the picture's better on it.
Because it is, isn't it?
So, yeah, it is, because it's in RGB via the Mister rather than an RF cable. So, you know, I do like plugging a cartridge in, but that's the nostalgia side of things. I enjoy playing the games more rather than, you know, real hardware is great, and if you've got the room and the money, go for it. You know, I'd always recommend the real hardware where possible. Like I say, I haven't sold anything. I've still got all the stuff, but it is gathering dust, and I'm kind of feeling a bit guilty. I'm thinking there's probably people out there who'd enjoy this more than what, you know, they would use it more than what I would.
Have you ever thought about
it? It starts saying,
you guys have a lot of events. I mean, have you ever thought about linking up with one of the events and doing a booth? I mean, I've done this before. And if you do it not by yourself, if you bring, you know, one of your friends, it actually is really fun. The pricing and everything, if you do it beforehand, which is what you should do, sucks.
Yeah, it's boxing everything. I'm really lazy, Mark. Yeah, it's boxing everything up. And I'm sure at the event, you know, Craig does Revival and what have you, you'd be okay. But I'd be watching everyone as if they're trying to steal it off me. And then if I do sell it, will I regret it? Do you know what I mean? It's probably partly why I haven't sold anything. Am I sure I want to get rid of it?
I've been there. I've been there. I've done it. I have sold, I would say, 80% of my software collection. I did was, when I finally came to, and this is 2015, that was the year I started. I finally was like, I looked at all this stuff. I looked, because it was when we bought this house, and I'm looking in my, and I was like, I literally do not have room for all of this. So I went through every game and was like, and went, okay, I'm never going to play this. I used to buy things just because I didn't have it. And they were a dollar back then. But once you get rid of kind of the fluff and you start curating at least the software stuff for me, then now I have a kind of a curated software collection, but now my hardware is out of control because I kept buying more hardware. So that's I think my next step is going through the hardware, but I honestly,
this is the thing. I've always been more of a hardware collector rather than the games, because, you know, you can get your multi-carts and your ever drives and what have you, because the price of some of the games I want to play has got ridiculous. Yeah. And I know piracy ain't a good thing, but it's not like the publishers are going to be benefiting me buying a secondhand copy of a game. Is the way I kind of justify it. But, you know, some people, they'll go for a complete collection of Master System games or the budget games, you know, on the Spectrum, Hit Squad games. And I can't see the point of that. You're buying a lot of these games weren't all that, and yet people are paying big money to get a game that wasn't all that. And it wasn't produced in the quantities a good game was, because the publishers knew it weren't going to sell as much, you know. And I don't know. It's just, the hardware, I've got it. I kind of want to sell it, but at the same time, I kind of don't.
I mean, speaking as like someone who like hoards stuff and like doesn't want to part.
Sorry, Steve.
You know, doesn't want to part with anything. What you should do is, like, you should pick a couple of items that are like you're not that bothered about and flog them. Yeah. And then, you know, keep make yourself a list of your things that you really absolutely love, like you want.
Well, do you know, it's weird.
Vectrex, stuff like that.
You know, I keep banging on about Atari Star Wars. Well, you got the arcade 1-up cab, which isn't cheap. Amazon are doing it for £525 at the moment, which is a limited time offer. And I know, you know, I prefer CRTs. I've got two jammer cabs behind me. I love them. And I know that arcade 1-up cabs are flimsy. They're smaller. LCD. But with a Vector game, you can probably get away with it. But part of the charm, you know, I've got Star Wars on the Vectrex, so I've got a vector screen. Hmm. I've got Star Wars on the RGB Pi, and it looks lovely, but it hasn't got the yoke controller. Hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what that game really
needs.
You need.
Not that, needs, but that's the full authentic.
Yeah, that's the authentic thing. The trouble is, I could spend £525 on that, and I haven't got the money at the moment, but that's why I'm thinking, do I start flogging stuff to get one? But two, I haven't got the space. And three, is the controller that good? Because there's third-party controllers that you can replace it with, but they're £200 or £300 each. Do you know what I mean? So you're already paying over £500 for the cab. Then to get a really decent controller, you're looking at £200 or £300. It's a lot of money for one.
Could you not get the controller by itself and like plug it into the RGB Pi or something with the telly?
Yeah, but you've got to mount it somewhere and
on a table.
I've hardly got any space down here.
I'm just hearing excuses here, dude.
Yeah,
true. Well, I know.
I don't know.
Dave Velociraptor. He's got one. He got one. I can't remember the name of it now because I actually asked him.
Well, so it's the arcade one-up cab.
No, he bought just the controller.
The controller, right? Okay. Because there's two companies. You got Alan One, who we know, and GRS, which is a guy on YouTube. He's got his own company that does different controllers, and they're both supposed to be very good.
So I've, as you know, I went and visited the guys at Alan One because they're local to me. Firsthand got to play with one of those Allen One joysticks. they're top notch. I'm still chatting with his name is so the gentleman we were talking to, he actually went abroad, and so I've got a new contact there. So we've still talked. I think at some point we may go ahead and just bring him on and let him talk about it, because Allen One stuff is really cool. And yeah, maybe we need to collaborate and see if we can get one of those joysticks up to you. Just, you know, you just got to see.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could give us a sweet deal on one. So, but they're heavy. But yeah, they are straight replacements. You can put them in the original cabinets or you can put them in the one-up cabinets. And their build quality is top-notch. They just are. And I know so Dave has the other one. He doesn't have the Allen One. He has the GRS one. And
GRS
and
one,
he loves that one too. And so, but I know, yeah, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be bad if you started flogging some of your stuff, get enough money, get one of those yokes there and just plug it into the RGB like Steve. So that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, true. It's whether it works with the RGB Pi. That's the thing.
Think they have adapters for USB for the Allen ones anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. His name is James. Yeah. There, I came back to
maybe him. Maybe I'll go down that route. But yeah, so I'm thinking of getting rid of some bits and pieces, but I don't know.
Yeah. it is scary. So because I was the same, I hoarded everything. I had multiple copies of everything, and I got to a point where I had to get rid of it. And I have gotten rid of some hardware, but again, I'm.
But you're always buying stuff. That's though, the problem. Mark. You've got Amigas that are breeding.
They're
multiplying.
When I was doing the count, I think I have 6 Amiga 2000s. So I should probably, I need to take one, you know, say don't, one of those would do as I say, not as I do. But yeah, I need to probably do that as well, Dana's. Start ditching some of these Amigas and get them out to people that need them or would enjoy them more. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I paid money for them, but
the trouble is, I managed to get some of this stuff fairly cheap, and if I did want to get it back, it'd cost me a lot now.
Mm. Yeah,
it's going to cost more. It's all going up, so that's the problem.
But I'm running out of space here, and you can't enjoy it when you've got too much stuff, I find. You know, you need a bit of...
Less is more. That's what they say. It's hard to...
Yeah.
I mean, if you just sell an Amstrad, you'll have like enough room for a car.
True.
You know what
it's
I mean?
Like a surfboard.
I was going to say, you can massive, replace man. The surfboard.
It's massive. It's like probably if you stood it on its side, it's like taller than your kids. it's massive. It's like a lift
it's
door.
It's really weird you say that. So the Amstrad that our friend from New Game on Flames, Andy, sent me. It had a bunch of marks on the side. I think it might have been the kid's length as they were growing old. Like, he was, you know, at 3 years, he was this age. That was a long...
Measuring tape.
That was a long way of explaining to those who tell those.
Like, that's it, man. Only halfway up and he's 25. Yeah, but you should try it anyway, mate. But that actually jumps us on a little bit there, Mark, to some of your purchases, because you posted in our chat the other day one of the ugliest PC things I've ever seen, which was amazing, which was your CD stack.
Oh, banner. Yeah.
Christ, that was ugly, but that was cool. What, tell us about that.
Actually, I don't think I posted that in Discord. Okay, so I was at the thrift store. I usually go to a thrift store once or twice a week, which is why I buy too much crap, because I find things like this. It was a super-sized tower. I mean, it was probably...
Size of an Amstrad.
About half the size.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, it was tall.
Well, how many drives are on it? That gives an idea.
So there were
nine or ten, as I want to.
Seven CD burners on it, plus the bottom, which had the tower, had the little control panel. That's what it was. And then there was a master CD on top. So what it was a, and I posted it on
duplicator.
What's that? Yeah, it was a duplicator. That's right. And it was all in one. So I went to go plug a CRT into it when I was going to finally test it. There's no VGA port on the back. So it's an all-in-one unit. You plug the CD in the top. You kind of, as soon as it knows that there's a disc in there, you can load all the seven trays with CDRs and then just hit play and it will start burning copies.
It's a shame you ain't got a time machine, Mark. You could have been like the pirate extraordinaire.
That's what's
knocking out some PlayStation games or something. Yeah,
that there was a guy that, so I posted it in the Vintage Computing group on Facebook. Got a lot of love in there. And there was a guy that posted two of them. But his were, they looked just like mine, but his, I guess you could plug, they were plug into monitors and networking and stuff like that, where mine was just an all-in-one unit. I don't know. That thing was, I paid $7 for it. How do you say no to that? And then everybody starts telling me, oh, you ought to gut it. You know, it has like SCSI CDRs or something. They're super rare and expensive, and I hate to break it apart, but maybe I will. I paid $7. I don't know. What do you do?
That's like less than a dollar a drive.
Yeah, less than a buck a drive. And then apparently it has a Super Socket 7 motherboard. I pulled that apart and looked at it. It has a Pentium 133 in it, and I don't know. So it's kind of a special unit, but it's just sitting here on the ground. I don't, what the hell, what do you do with that stuff? Why do I buy it? Why? I mean, that's the thing.
It needed a home, didn't it? And you wanted to rescue it.
Your mouse can live in it. Oh, God. Like a block of flats. Yeah. Like high rise for your mouse.
I probably had to pull that out and like see.
Apartment block.
Maybe they're hiding in there.
Probably brought them home in it.
Do you know what's funny, though? We kind of brought this up in the chat when you posted the picture of it, that there was a point in like sort of the mid to late 90s when computers just started to look crap, like absolutely have like no style whatsoever, apart from maybe Apple products still did. But it's like we went through our 8-bit periods, and I think all the 8-bits have got something cool about them. Like the little ZX Speccy 48 is the coolest little micro device. Such a cool thing with its rubber keys. And the Commodore 64, you got the bread bin, the Amiga looked amazing, the Atari ST, even the gray Atari XE designs. Everything
I
like was
that
like,
design.
I liked it as well. And it was like, everything was kind of iconic. You know, like, and the consoles looked cool. PlayStation 1 looked cool. Same sort of era. But PCs, they just went, no one cares.
Just make it work.
Put it in a beige box. Just shove it in a beige box.
Do you think
like,
it was
no
because
one gives a crap?
They were aimed at an office environment, though, most of these things.
Do you know what I actually think it is? Is that because they were made by so many different firms with so many just like off the shelf parts that anyone could make one and any company could make one. They were just like, just put it in a box.
Yeah.
Because it could be this shape, it could be this shape, it could be wide, it could be square, it could be tall, it could be 10 stories like his one. And it's just like, what's the overall theme we want? Beige.
The only ones that I feel like have some some kind of styling is those compacts. I feel like the compact Presarios, not that they're great. They're just big and bubbly. I mean, have you seen them? I mean, some of those are just funky. There was one that my friend had at his warehouse where it was an all-in-one. It was built in like an iMac where it has the CD and everything. It's just built into the LCD screen. Just the goofiest looking thing I'd ever seen. So I felt like Presario or Compact was trying to make some style.
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
They had no style. They had absolutely, it took years for like PCs to even slightly start to look quite cool, like something you'd have in your house. And even then, even now, so you will still get some now. You can get ones that look like an iMac and they're like all in one display and this, you know, like a wireless keyboard and chrome looking and stuff. And that, but that kind of mad design look has lived on in the fact that like pro gamers make them look like fairground attractions with lights flashing all over and like LEDs.
Yeah, I
and
think they look really tacky in there, though.
I think they look ridiculous. I think they are absolutely ridiculous. But I know that like some of my gamer mates, they swear by it. It's like it's got LED lights and it's got water spinning around inside it and it's water cooled and there's a fish in it. Probably not fish, but like. Do you know what I mean, though? It's like, it's never been cool. Like, I would say, like Apple products went, like, they
it's
had
like
their own
pimping
style.
It's like pimping a car, though, isn't it? You know when people start putting neon lights underneath cars a and Subaru. A massive spoiler, it looks like an ironing board.
Yeah, not a Subaru. I mean? Like, remember the kids, like, get Subarus with, like, a massive spoiler on the back and, like, flashing lights under the bottom and huge speakers in the boot. And it's like, I've got no style whatsoever, but it's loud. And that's like, that's the same thing. Like PCs were just absolutely bland for years. Find me a good looking PC that you go, wow, that looks cool. And then they just went mental with lights and stuff.
You're hurting my feelings, too, because mine, it's funny. You've seen pictures of my modern PC, right?
Is it flashing lights? And
it has a couple, but it's not crazy, but it's shaped.
Could you dance to it? Could you dance to
probably,
it?
Now I'm looking at
Could you dance next to it?
No, I'm going to send you a picture right now in our chat.
Yeah.
But it was the hardest part of the build is what do you make it look like? I bought one that's a glass pyramid. It's huge. So instead of the motherboard sitting up like most PCs, it's sitting flat and it's literally a glass pyramid shaped. Yeah, I'll send you a picture and then you can laugh.
You'll have to send us a picture. Laugh. I mean, send us some pictures, man. But like, I challenge any of our listeners to find me a picture of a like a mid-90s PC that looks cool, like iconic or cool or something you'd want in your house.
Oh, there was one.
Like any.
It was an Acer. They were kind of cool looking. There was an Acer one that I thought was kind of cool looking.
Send us some pics.
All right, I'm sending one now.
I lived at a house, mate. Go on, send us some pics. I lived with a housemate a few years ago. We had an apartment together, and he was doing something like online dating at the time, and he was buying a new computer for his bedroom, and he was humming and ahhing between getting an iMac or a gaming PC. And he was like, what do you think I should get? And I was like, what's up to you, mate? And he was like, no, I don't know whether to get this like sleek iMac in the corner or like this gaming PC. And I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. If you get the gaming PC, you're never getting laid. I said, because you're going to bring a girl back. You have a few drinks. You're going to go in your room and she's going to see the disco box you've got in the corner with all the lights. And she's just going to go, see you later.
She's like, I'm out.
And that'll be it. I said, but if you, I'm out. Well, I said, if you've got an iMac in the corner, you can make out you're a designer. I'm a web designer or a music producer or something. And they'll go, oh, cool. So, yeah. Anyway, that's pure tangent. But we did promise that's what this show was going to be about.
Yeah, so. we're all over the place. But see, the computer, I mean, I've never built a modern computer. I've only worked on the old stuff, kind of. And so, you know, I had to build one. And part of me selling a lot of my games paid for this to build me a modern PC. And
how much was your modern PC?
Well, I built it in 2020, which was a terrible year to build anything. But I was buying stuff when the new 30 series cards were coming out. And so I think I paid, it was about $2,500 for all the components. Yeah, at the time. And it's, I mean, it's still great. And then I bought the ridiculous 49-inch Samsung Ultra Wide, which I just sent you a picture of.
Nice.
And it's beautiful. That, I mean, playing games, modern games.
Is it the curved one? Is it the curved one?
Crazy curved, yeah.
Yeah, we use that in the studio. It's so cool. So they are cool. I like them.
It's a fun monitor. And so, you know, yeah. But this is why I don't have a Steam Deck, is because if I want to play a game, I want to play it like this, on something like this.
Yeah, man, but you've got Windows, so you'll never play anything anyway, because it won't work.
It works just fine.
I'm only joking. Just
fine. Mr.
I'm
Apple,
only joking.
Mr.
I'm
Apple,
only
man.
Joking. But I know, man. I know. I can't help myself. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll forgive you, I guess. I mean, letting me into the A team. Is this the A team or the B team? I still don't know. I feel like we have a...
This is the A team, man. This is the original. This is the OG.
Yeah, where's Matt?
Who's Matt?
He's Murdoch, isn't he? He's inside. We have to break him out every now and then.
That's right, you got him.
No, he's not. He's Matt is Mr. T, mate. I ain't doing no podcast, sucker. I ain't getting on no plane. I ain't going on no show, sucker.
The thing is, he was invited on this show, as we always invite him on, and now he's popped up on chat saying, why wasn't he included?
That's what he does.
Asked for the CD32 selection.
That's true.
He was, because he didn't read it.
We love you, Matt. We need to get him on.
We do.
We need him on. I actually am trying to collaborate with him to get to do a racing, because he likes racing games. I like racing games. So
he loves his racing games, yeah.
So he does.
If
he even went out and bought a fan to put by his screen, so
it blows in his face.
The wind's blowing in his hair when he's
really. I don't think he's
dresses awesome, like man, a stick.
He does. He's just difficult to get on, man. So on the show, like sometimes he'll give us his reason why he can't be on an episode before we've told him there's an episode. I can't do Friday, boys. It's like, we never said anything. We never even said there was anything to do.
Matt. But yeah, I'm hoping
anyway, he'll be on at some point.
Get him on for a racing game episode, because I think he's enjoyed. Yeah, we talked about our Outrun, and we've talked to our other, RC Pro-Am we did, stuff like that. But
Stunt Car Race or anything Jeff Crammond, I think he'll play when he really.
Oh yeah, awesome, awesome games. Matt, I get it with Matt, because Matt's like, he's kind of a bit like me sometimes. Is that he wants to be on an episode, and then
but
he'll
can't
sort
be bothered.
He just stuff comes up and it just doesn't happen. But then when he actually manages to get himself on an episode,
he enjoys
it. He loves
it.
He absolutely loves it, and he brings loads to it as well. Yeah. And you know what I mean. So he's got to get over that hump sometimes. Just say I'm doing it, and just do it.
Yeah.
And then there you go.
Yeah.
You just got to do it. Anyway. Let's see what else is on our list to talk about. So there's a new Atari coming out. A new Atari Mini has been announced.
Oh, the Atari 400.
400. Mini. I think. It sounds cool. That's
because you used an Atari kid, wasn't you?
Yes, originally.
As
first
in computers,
computer. Yeah, 800XL, first computer. And loved it. Absolutely loved it. I had it for about just under a year before I got the Commodore 64. But I did. I really loved it. Because I think it's when it's your
say, just under a week before you flogged
it. Just under a week before I sold it.
Started when you were young, huh?
No, I loved it. Do you know what? The thing with the Atari with me is, for me was, it was my first computer. I wanted a Commodore 64. My mum and dad spoke to me auntie for some reason. And she told them that they were getting their kids an Atari. So they got me one. And then that was that. So I had it for about a year. And I absolutely loved it. But going to school, everyone had a Speccy or a Commodore 64. Everyone.
Yep.
I didn't know anyone with the Atari apart from my cousin, who's having the same problem I was.
Couldn't find games.
They didn't know anyone else. Couldn't find games. No one was copying games. And I was just like, oh my God. So I lasted like nearly a year. And then I think as my birthday come around, I was like, Dad, can we sell this and put the money towards a Commodore? And he was like, yeah, I'll help you. Put it in the paper back in the day. So we sold it in the newspaper. And then next birthday, Commodore 64. And there you go. Anyway. I digress. The Atari 400 that they're bringing out, 400 Mini. I think what they're making actually sounds really cool. What's in it? Because I think it's going to do
the whole
shebang.
Bit range. Yeah.
Yeah. 400, 800, 400XL, 800, 600XL, 800XL. I think 1200.
Like what they've done with the Amiga 500 Mini. It would play Amiga 1200 games.
Yeah. And the C64. I think the C64 had the C16 in it as well and stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So on that front, really cool. Not only my personal point of view, not the coolest choice for the unit.
No.
The actual design, the one they've picked, I think they've picked the 400, which is a weird looking Atari. Like, it doesn't, I doubt it's going
it
to like.
It looks a bit like a ZX81 in its keyboard, yeah. Doesn't it?
It's got the membrane.
Yeah.
It's got the flat membrane.
Obviously,
keyboard.
The keys won't work on the Mini.
No.
It's got the membrane keyboard. But the thing is, for me, is like that's going to be nostalgic for nobody. Almost that design they picked, because I can't think of anyone who would have had that, you know, like certainly UK European users. Like, I think there's plenty, a fair few people I know had an Atari 800, like speaking these days and finding out, even like lads who listen to our podcast have said they have them.
Yeah,
so I think if he'd gone with the Atari 800 design, that's a better choice, like design, or the XE, like we were talking about as well.
Yeah, I guess they didn't go for the XE because it wasn't too popular at the time, but I thought it was a fantastic looking console. I know a lot of people don't like the design. It had elements of the Atari ST with its angles and
the diagonal slot buttons, and the pastel colour buttons.
The pastel colour buttons, which reminded me, Mark won't know what I'm talking about now, but TVAM egg cups. Remember the end credits of TVAM? You had the different egg cups for each year that it was on. That's what it reminded me of. And it's funny, before I got my Spectrum Plus 2, I kept seeing the adverts for the Atari XE. And bear in mind, my gaming console when I was growing up was the Atari 2600. So I was on the Atari side sort of things. And I was thinking, do I get one of these? And then my mate said, look, I've got a Spectrum. You've been using it for years. I've got all the games. Just think, as soon as you get your computer, you can have a copy of every game. And I thought, yeah, you're right. And that's why I went with a Spectrum.
Mm. Yeah. And that would be the right choice as well. Would have been the right choice.
It would, because Atari 8-bit games, there was a lot of budget games. Around this, I'm talking about 1987. But, you know, the big game releases, all your coin-op conversions and all that were non-existent on the Atari 8.
It wasn't a well-supported platform at all.
No, by that time it had died off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really dropped off. And the three majors become the Speccy, Amstrad and the Commodore. And that, once in a blue moon, you'd see something that said Atari as well.
Yeah.
But it was rare.
That's so wild. Because, I mean,
and the games took forever to load on a cassette.
With the Atari.
Oh, man, it was horrible. It was the worst loading computer out the lot.
Kidding. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Maybe that's why we went discs here.
Seriously. So mine
and
had
disk
a tape
drives deck. Over. Yeah, the disk drives in this country were too expensive. The whole machine, because it was out before the C64, wasn't it? Mm. We're talking 1979, I think.
So the 800 was out in the 70s, and the XL was just a remodel of it. Which was out in the early 80s, I think. So they just made a new design that was more like a Commodore 64 to look at, but it still had the tech inside of the
70s Ataris,
model. But loading games off tape. Yeah, and then like loading games off a tape, because you probably didn't have that there, Mark, but Jesus Christ, like it would take a good 15 minutes to load a game. There was no loading screens. All
just
it
beeping,
did,
wasn't it? It
was a burp, burp, burp. That was all it did, and the screen just went black, blue, black. I just did it for like 15 minutes. And then like when I eventually switched to the Commodore 64, and like within 30 seconds, a loading screen had popped up, and then the next thing is just like dun 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 dun. I was like, ocean load of music, and I was like, oh my god, this is the dream. This is awesome. And then you get fast loaders and stuff, and it'd be loaded in like 3 minutes or 4 minutes, and I was just like, this is so much better. But anyway, the Mini's coming out. There we go.
Yeah, me, Mads, and Chris.
It looks nice. It's not really for me.
In the Castlevania episode. Basically, we came to the conclusion that it kind of doesn't seem like it's for people like us that like to collect the old hardware, but it's still such a great little device, and it's and you'll hear Mads talking about it too. He talked about he's going to be doing another gaming meetup with his work, and he's going to have the old original stuff hooked up as well as some of these Minis hooked up, so that, you know, people can kind of see that, you know, if they want something like that. And so, I don't know. For me, it's the same. I have an Amiga Mini. I haven't turned it on yet. You know, why would I? It's just such a cute little device, but I don't know.
So anyway, Mark, talk us through. Let's do this Amiga CD32 thing.
I never found out why he chose me to share his secret. Perhaps because we had similar dreams. But this was twice as fast. Twice as powerful as anything I'd ever thought possible. Though what that meant, I could never have foreseen. Incredible graphics. And colors. So many colors. Our world would never be the same again.
Okay, so
talk us through it.
Okay. I don't know if we've got a little bit of a delay. I feel like I've got about a 2 second delay here. I'm not sure if I'm picking that up or not, but in case we're talking over each other, that might be what's happening here. My internet sucks today. So sorry about that, guys.
It's those mice.
Damn mice. Okay. Okay. People are like, what are you talking about? I have had a mice problem in my house for the last like 2 months, and one chewed through my Cat 5 cable. And then the guys joked I needed cats, not a Cat 5. Anyway, it's bad. We're a bunch of old dads. Okay. Okay. We're going to go. So theme for March, we're going CD32. This was Mad's brainchild. So you can blame Mads. I've already put that out in the game club chat that this is going to be a Mads. We were kind of going back and forth. What do we want to do? And he's like, we need to do Amiga. And it's funny because he's been yelling at me and Chris about, you know, we're doing too new of games. There's too many bits, even in Castlevania. There's 32 bits, too many bits. Whatever, Mads. And then he picks the CD32. So here we are. Here we are. We were tasked. So Steve and me, Mads, Chris, we all picked two games. And I think just between the three of us, we ought to just kind of universally clip off one of each of our games. I don't know. I kind of like the idea, since Chris and Mads aren't here, maybe we just go with Mark and Steve's picks. What do you guys think?
Let's just get rid of Mads and Chris's games. Like, we won't even like do any research. We won't look at them. We won't talk about them. We just get rid of them.
We'll pretend that they didn't even pick anything.
Yeah. This next Game Club selection is just mine and yours. That's it.
Yeah.
Game Club Plus with me, you, and Dean.
A good time to mention that we are going to start doing episodes based on the games that those two chuck out.
Yes.
Because they always chuck out the decent games that we want to play. So we will be doing a Pac-Land episode soon because of that.
The alternative Game Club.
Yeah.
Where the right selection is made.
Ooh.
And whatever we decide that is. And then we talk about it. Yeah. So
it's going to be like the Stranger Things Upside Down, right? You got the Upside Down world with the game clubs where you guys get to play the ones you want together. Yeah.
Game Club, right way up.
It was already upside down, Mark.
Exactly. Okay. We're going to pick the one. Whatever gets cast off. Whatever gets cast off, if we don't like it, we're going to do our own episode. But Dean's not messing. That's true. We are going to do a Pac-Land episode as one of the games that got span off the Game Club and didn't get picked.
Yes, because they wouldn't know a good game if it was to slap them around the face.
Me and Dean were outraged.
Well, wasn't Pac-Land made it to the vote, right? It was just that Donkey Kong Country beat it out. Is that what happened?
Mm. Exactly! Who does that?
Donkey Kong
Country. Donkey Kong
rubbish.
Country.
It's rubbish. Here's the
graphics before gameplay. It's just what's going on.
Shadow of the Beast on the SNES is what it is.
It's from Rare. And coming from the UK, of course, most of the listeners are from the UK. They're going to pick the title that's developed by Rare.
No, they're not. No, they're just...
We need new listeners.
We do.
You just agree with me and Dean.
I was still hoping Burnout 3 would have won. Love our listeners. I would have loved to have played Burnout 3. Ah.
That's a great game. I was shouting for that one as well. That was an awesome game.
I was hoping Mads would have to play another Xbox racer.
Donkey Kong Country.
Wasn't made
to be. Torturing Mads is always fun.
Yeah, we love that. So, okay. So we'll...
You did that well on the 8-bit wars.
Sorry.
I was saying you did that well on the 8-bit wars when you picked the wrong R-type. For Mads, that was perfect.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
He's I'm already dreading. What are we, 10 months away from Christmas? So I'm already dreading having to hear that again. But that's okay.
The comeback.
So, cool.
Right, okay. So let's get into the CD32 list. So let's Mark, tell us. So let's start with one of your games. Let's just work our way through this and we'll go from there. So we're kind of busking it because we don't normally do it, but we'll get through it. So, Mark, what was your first CD32 game?
So I have a little stack of CD32 discs. I decided that I just kind of look at my list and see what I had. Hero Quest 2 was a game that I had sitting there on the shelf. It's not my kind of game, as most of you guys know. I don't know anything about it other than the fact it's on the Amiga CD32. And I think...
It's based on a board game. It's
based on a board game. Yeah, Hero Quest is a board game. That's right.
I'm already bored.
My family absolutely loves board games, and I hate them. I don't hate them. I mostly hate them, and I can't plug a controller into them. Well, here's my chance, I guess. Hero Quest 2, released in 94. I mean, it had pretty good scores among the magazines and the different formats. It was anywhere from mostly up in like the 70s up to a 90%. So it seemed like people liked it for what it was. Again, honestly, guys, you know, I'm not an Amiga guy other than owning a bunch of hardware. So this would be, you know, an interesting one to see. So that's my first pick. What about you, Steve? Let's go with one of yours.
Okay, my first pick was Super Skid Marks, which is kind of isometric car racing game. Everyone have seen it, like a supercars, only a bit more isometric-y. Mm. Everyone will know what Super Skid Marks is. I don't know if there's much difference between the Amiga version and the CD32
It's
button.
Just the soundtrack. Probably. I'm guessing.
Possibly the controls as well, because it'll have the joypad. So it might have accelerate and brake. Might. I'm not sure. But it's a class game, so I was just like, I'm just taking it across. It's brilliant on the Amiga, so my
and everyone daughter. Remembers being able to go into a store and asking the woman behind the counter whether she had skid marks or not,
which is always fun, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's funny.
Super skid marks in this case,
yeah, and then you get thrown out of the shop,
yeah, you get slapped across the face and then thrown out
of the shop. So everyone will know it, but it's like it's an isometric racing game where you race four cars around a track.
Very, very playable.
Very playable, really good fun. Much more exciting than some of the games on this list.
And it's Australian.
It's Australian, I didn't know that. Skid marks. Yeah.
G'day.
G'day, super
is that skid
marks.
Marks in your pants?
Pants. Skid. Mark, carry on, Mark.
Skid marks.
All our Australian listeners are saying, what the bloody hell is he?
Yeah,
don't say Australian.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure it was developed in Australia. Wasn't it written in,
Amos.
Oh, Amos, that's it, yeah.
Was it? No way, that's cool.
I think it was Amos or one of those little languages that you could buy and develop on the Amiga.
It also says it was released on the Genesis. Nice. Interesting. And it says you can link to Amiga.
It was eventually.
You can link to Amiga 1200s or faster. Use them to display the track across two separate screens. Are you kidding me? How cool is that?
See? Yeah. I've already won. I've won this thing. It's done. It's over. We don't need the rest of the games.
Wow.
Anyway, so let's go. What have we got on Mads and Chris's list? Let's go for one of those.
All right, Mads picked Benefactor. Never heard of this one. I talked to Dean, you know, before we started recording. He said, "Oh, I remember that game. It seems like it's kind of a puzzle platformer." He says you're really small sprite.
Yeah, you're a very little sprite. I don't remember much else about it. I remember remember thinking it was okay at the time, but I haven't played it in years.
How about you, Steve? Anything on that one?
I had a very quick look on YouTube on that one, and it looked fun. It looks like a little underground platformer type thing with like a little small man. But it looked well put together, and it looked quite fun. So that one looked okay to me.
And Chris, Chris picked one called, his first one was called Diggers,
which is a Lemmings clone.
Okay. I've not heard of this one.
I don't remember much about it apart from it being a bit dull and not really as good as Lemmings.
Apparently it's on the Amiga CD32, DOS, and Acorn 32-bit.
Yeah, I think out of all the games that are on here, there's only one that is an exclusive to the Amiga CD32, although it did appear as an MS-DOS game as well, which we haven't mentioned yet.
So,
which one was that?
It's Mad's Other Choice.
Oh.
Oh, the Encyclopedia.
Universe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's saying Diggers is a lemming-style puzzle game where you command five alien miners from a choice of four clans and various gadgets to dig for treasure. The game is divided into excavation areas. Each area has a set amount of money you must raise before moving on to the next. To do so, you must sell your collected treasure to the bank. So, must be kind of a... Oh, man.
So we'll come to this in a second, of why, what we think about them.
Oh, did I give my thoughts away? I do apologise. Yeah.
Save it, Dino.
All right.
Mark, what was your other game, your second game?
My second game, I went with Super Methane Brothers. Now, this one I did play. Obviously not back in the day. This is when I got this disc and with my CD32, so I played it. It's basically a bubble clone, you know, a clean-em-up screen clone. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. You basically shoot your fog guns or whatever it is to the enemies, and you kill them that way. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It's a bubble clone. Could make for a fun high score game. Could be fun just to see if you can actually beat the game being on a console. I know Dean said, he called it the poor man's bubble, so he said.
Euro bubble.
Yeah, I'm trying to think whether it was a budget release or not. It was in the, what was it, 93, I think this came out, so it was like towards the tail end of, yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, it was a mediocre game.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everything's bubble, right, is the standard, and so everything gets kind of graded against that. I mean, everybody hates the CDI Mario, Hotel Mario, and that's all it is. It's not quite a bubble clone, but it's like that. It's a single screen, you're kind of going up the thing. I don't hate that game. Everybody seems to hate it, but the reason I bring that up is there was some CDI talk right before we came on recording. Everybody, I think, thinks we need to.
I mean, to be honest, it probably plays more like Snow Brothers more than it does Bubble Bobble. But even Snow Brothers isn't as good as Bubble Bobble, is it?
Yeah, no.
No.
Bubble Bobble's, like I said, I think it's kind of the standard, right? Like, it's what everything gets graded against. Mm. But I don't know. So that's my choice number two. Steve, what'd you bring?
My choice number two was Banshee, which was the sort of like 1942 style arcade shoot 'em up with cool graphics. Once again, it looks like there's almost no difference between the CD32 and the Amiga 1200 version. I don't even think there's any additional music or anything in the game, which would have been cool. But at the same time, it's a really good game. So that for me is why it's ended up on the list. And everyone know Banshee. It's a great shoot 'em up.
Yeah, people have said, I've never actually tried Banshee, and they say it's kind of like the, you know, quote unquote best shoot 'em up for the Amiga, kind of.
It shows off what the Amiga could do. Some nice effects in it, I think, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, graphically it's lovely. I think there's potentially a couple of better shooters on the Amiga than this, but it is good. It's really good. And it'll be the best shooter on the CD32 easily.
And so it's by Core Designs, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good game.
Well, you're killing me because you've got.
So what are the rubbish to them, Chris and Mads?
This is my favorite genre. You're killing me, Steve.
Nice. Not a problem.
I guess, again, we could just keep two of yours. I mean, I don't know.
And two of yours, and we just get rid of the others. go on. So what else has Chris and Mads picked? Let's get through those.
So Mads picked apparently an encyclopedia simulator called Universe. I don't know anything about Universe. Came out in 94. DOS Amiga CD32 is what it tells me.
I mean, I had a I had a quick look at this, and I scrolled through like the first 25 minutes of it on YouTube. And
it's a point and click game.
Yep, that's what it's I was just reading. It says it's a classic old style adventure game with a point and click interface. Uses rotoscope system to manage game character scores. Really beautiful 256 color graphics. Okay.
I actually, now that we think about it, I actually kind of remember this, and it is not as bad as I think it is when I saw it before, because it just looked, like we just said there, like an encyclopedia when you used to get a disc for your PC, and like Encyclopedia Britannica 1993. And it was just the most boring thing you'd ever put in your computer. And that's what this looked like, because it was just boxes of text and like pictures. But I do vaguely remember this now. I'm sure Mads has shown me it in the past, and it is like more like a Monkey Island-y type thing.
Oh.
With like really like nice music and graphics and stuff.
You're talking yourself into it now, huh?
I'm not going to pick it. It still looks crap. But
it's probably the game that would last the longest.
Maybe.
For a month.
Yeah. It's not
Mads
for me.
Mads is going to be, so mad when you get rid of this one.
He's going to be fuming. I know.
It's also by Core.
So is that our list?
Well, we got one more from Chris.
I think it's actually supposed to be by Chris.
Flink. Flink. Mm. It's a little platformer. It was released on the CD32, Genesis, and Sega CD. I only know it from the Sega CD. I've seen it in the game stores and things like that here locally. So it's basically a jump and run game set with fantasy world of Imagica. Oh my god! Yeah, and then it's the evil wizard, Wicked. I don't really care. Stories takes me forever to get into. You know, even the Castlevania we played, like it took me a minute to kind of get into that. Once I'm there, I enjoy it, but I'm like, ugh, I can't be bothered to read it. I don't know.
Don't need a story.
Just yeah,
we're busy men. We can't be faffing around with stories, yeah, right. Can we?
Manly men. That's
Jack and Ori.
Got time for that?
That's it. Alpha males. Alpha males, we don't want a story. Get to the action.
That's right. Just put me in a plane in Banshee. Let me go.
That's it, man.
Put me in some super skid
marks.
That's
it, man. Blow things up. Let's get some skid marks in our pants, jump in our plane. Let's just go.
So, just to go back, Steve picked Banshee, super skid marks. I picked Hero Quest 2, Super Methane Brothers. Mads picked Benefactor and Universe. And Chris picked Diggers and Flink. So typically we just kind of whittle these down one at a time. I think where there's three of us, we probably ought to just universally decide which ones go, and we'll just go with that.
Well, let's go around like one by one and just pick something we hate.
Easy
to get
do,
rid of.
Okay.
To just get rid of. So does anyone want to go first? Does anyone want to just go, I want to get rid of that because it looks absolutely awful? So
don't
me then.
Mark's feet.
I'll go first then. That's fine. Thanks, boys. Thanks for
you can jump on this one for the grenade for us.
I mean, you're all gonna have to do it. I'll go first. Okay. I was initially it was gonna be Universe because like I say, it just looked like an encyclopedia. It looked absolutely like mind-numbingly boring. but I don't think it is. I think if I had a proper look into it, I don't think it's as bad as I was thinking it was. So I'm gonna choose. Like Diggers for me looks like if you got lemmings and just like extracted all the fun out of it and then like went from like 100 lemmings down to like 4 lemmings and then made your 4 lemmings do like really mundane boring stuff instead of them trying to escape with their lives, it looks like Diggers looks rubbish. Absolutely rubbish. Anyone else think Diggers looks rubbish? It's like, it looks so
hands
boring.
Up.
Hands up. Come on, boys. Don't leave me hanging here. It does. It looks
yes,
like...
Yes, I agree. Like, not my sort of thing.
It looks like lemmings with 4 lemmings instead of 100.
I'd rather go out into my garden and start digging a hole in real life than play this.
Yeah. I mean, Flink is, so if we're going to get rid of that, then Flink is the one that goes forward. So do you see yourself, obviously, you guys hardly ever.
Oh, I think Flink looks way better than okay. Diggers.
Than that.
Like, way better. Like, Flink looks like a nice graphic from what I saw, a nice animation, and it's a side-scrolling platformer. Don't need the story. Run from left to right and see where you end up. Nice and simple. Don't need any nonsense. Like this Diggers. Like, part of it is, like, you've got to go and earn money. Like, imagine Lemmings with four Lemmings, and they had to earn some money.
Yeah.
That's, like, the worst idea of a game I've ever heard. It's awful.
Fair enough.
That's gone.
Flink, okay. Gone.
So whose is it? Is it Mads's?
What, Dig?
Is it Mads's or Chris's?
That was Chris. Yeah, Diggers. Chris. Diggers and Flink.
I'm sorry, Chris. Pick better. Flink's
much better. Must try harder, Chris.
Yeah. Must try harder. So that's me. I'm done. Diggers is gone. Diggers is dug.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Took its way out of the list.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, Flink can stay. Flink can stay for me.
All right. I'm going to pick one off Steve's. That'll make it really hard. And then you guys can agree or disagree.
Well, is this one you're getting rid of?
I've got to decide. I honestly, I don't know. I'm still, because I'd love to try Banshee, but I'd also love to try Super Skid Marks. And I wonder if there's any listeners out there that have two Amiga 1200s where they could link them together. That would be so cool to see.
Matt will do it. He'll get his brother around.
Back to back screens.
Yeah. Like an ultra wide back in the day.
You can actually put the screens next to each other. Yeah.
That's so cool.
I remember that. I can remember going to a computer fair and someone had actually done that.
Really?
I've seen that in Revival. I've seen that, not with Super Skid Marks. Yeah. I saw it with, did he have a link up on Lotus Esprit? Definitely seen that. Some kind of link up. I can't remember. And Stunt Car Racer. Yeah,
that's really cool. Mm. Racing.
So, Mark, the thing is, whichever one of mine you get rid of, you're still going to end up with a good one.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know what? I think I'm going to get rid of the Shooter. That's crazy for me. That's usually not my go-to, but I think I'd rather keep Super Skid Marks. We had so much fun with Crazy Cars 2 back when that was in game. I'd love to kind of try and revisit that. I don't know, what do you think, Dean?
I think that Super Skid Marks is probably the more playable game. I remember, I don't know if it was Super Skid Marks or the first game, I had a demo of it which I rinsed. I played the demo more.
You rinsed your skid marks, Dino.
I rinsed your skid marks all over the place. No, I did. I played skid marks more than the actual game. Mm. I think they might have changed something in the full release. The demo seemed more playable to me. I would drop Banshee personally. It is beautiful. It's a beautiful looking game.
I also think, could I beat Banshee? And the answer is probably no, personally.
So can I drop a thought in here before you make your decision? Mm. I have no idea how playable or fun Super Skid Marks is by yourself.
Because he's never played it.
I played it. I'm sure I played it with me, mate. He used to have it.
Mm.
But how much fun is it on your own compared to how much of a challenge is Banshee on your own? Because you're going to be playing it by yourself. And that's, you know.
Just, I'm going to, just real quick,
that's just
I'm
a thought.
Pull up and see if it's just on Amiga thought. Live. You think?
It should be.
Could be, yeah. Sounds the kind of game would be.
I wonder if. Because if it's on Amiga Live, when we. if we could. Try to make it
link up
play online.
Yeah.
Let's see. Down to Super.
That's the thing. It is a game that will really benefit from being played multiplayer.
This is great. I know. Sorry, guys.
By the way, the silence is.
Dooby 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 doo be doo doo.
I'm not seeing it.
No.
It's not letting me search, but when I look down there. I see Super.
He's looking down and he can't find his skid marks, people.
I can't see.
Have you rinsed them?
I haven't rinsed it. Never. Yeah, I'm not seeing Super Skid Marks. I see Super Skoda, Super Squeak, Super Space Invaders, Super Sport Challenge, Super Sprint.
Just look for skid marks. Look for normal skid marks. Whip your pants down and look for normal skid marks.
Yeah, no. SK. There we are. Yeah. Skid marks, WHD, skid marks 2, super. Yep, okay. So it's under skid marks, not super. It's called skid marks 2 super, and it's a CD32.
There
so
go.
It's under, it's there. It's on Amiga Live. I say we keep it.
Then I think that's, I say we keep it. I think you, that's probably the right choice then, to keep it.
But see, Steve, this means that you'll have to,
ooh,
you'll
tense.
Have to manage the game club and get people to play.
I'm going to manage the alternative game club. Where we pick games that no one picked.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, Banshee. Again, I mean, I'm a shooter fan, but I don't know. I'm always in for racing.
I'm cool with that, man. Yeah. I'm cool with either. I think if we can get along some online games going, that'll be really cool.
Yeah.
On a Skidmark.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I'm good.
Cool.
With that.
I'd say why don't you guys go and wipe out one of mine.
Dino, get rid of something.
I can't stand board games, so Hero Quest, flush it down the loo. Sorry, yeah, Mark.
There it goes.
If you want to play a board game, just play a board game. Don't play it on a computer.
What do you think, Steve?
But, yeah, I'm a man with a life. I've got better things to do in my time than play board games. Sorry.
Let me see. So is this out of yours, Mark? We're picking out of yours.
Yeah.
Oh, all day, yeah. He's right. Get rid of Hero Quest. Like, Super Methane looks like it could be fun. Like Super Methane,
I'm sure there is fun. Yeah, obviously, it's not
all day.
Bubble Bobble. It's never going to be, because that's a Japanese-developed game, and, you know, it's just the masters at that. This is like a Euro kind of clone, but I'm sure it's more playable.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
It looks way more fun than Hero Quest.
Yeah, I'm down. I think Super Methane Brothers is fun. Which leaves us to Mads. Right,
let's get rid of both.
We'll just leave it to 3 votes. Yeah, I'll throw Banshee back in, call it 4.
There you go, done. Go on, what have we got to choose from Mads? So, sorry, what have we got?
It's Benefactor or Universe.
For me, I'd choose Benefactor all day over that, out of them 2, all day.
No point in clicking for you, huh? He's die. I guarantee it's going to be the one. I would rather you play. It's going to be, no matter which one we pick, it's going to be wrong for him. I guarantee it. That's just Mads.
Well, he shouldn't have shoveled off doing this to us then.
It's true. I thought we were going to be throwing this list at the end of Castlevania, and it didn't happen. So, he's just like,
and he got himself to blame.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good. I'm good with Benefactor. That sounds more of my street. Point and click stuff. I've enjoyed some of the ones that we've tried over the, like, I loved, not Dune. What was it? The same kind of time frame for movies. My gosh, it's totally lost me. Blade Runner. Good grief. There it is. Blade Runner. I love that game.
Blade Runner, I told you to play that. It was awesome.
It
so
was
cool.
Such a good one.
They just moaned about it.
I loved it.
It was so good. Yeah. I love it.
So, there are some point and clicks that I've enjoyed.
They just moaned about it.
So, but yeah, I'm good. Let's keep Benefactor. Okay. What do you think? Is you good?
At the end of the day, Mark, they've spent that game club torturing you on purpose. Like some of the rubbish they've made you play. Like what was the bloody, what was the RPG that you like was 400 hours long?
Oh, you know what though?
They were trying to get you
Shining
to do. You have to do it
CD.
With your mate.
You did
it with your mate.
Freaking loved it. Did. I couldn't believe
it.
But I played it with a friend.
Crying watched him, Steve.
Yeah. What's that syndrome where you've been like kidnapped?
Stockholm.
Then...
Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome. Stockholm syndrome. That's what you were playing, mate. Stockholm syndrome. Simulator.
Chris and Mads are just like, you love this game, right? Yes, I do. It's so much fun. Yeah, that's right.
Put these in your eyes. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to put forward 4 games, and for March, it'll be Super Skid Marks, Super Methane Brothers, Benefactor, and Flink. Does that sound right?
Sounds good to me. That sounds like a good list.
Sweet.
I like that. Some good games in there.
Well,
yeah.
I'll get that vote ready. I'm thinking I got to get the vote up.
Do me a favor, though. When before you do that, when we tell Mads and Chris, let's just tell them that we got rid of their games.
That sounds good.
All of them. Yeah. Just put ours in as the list and just see what they say. just for a laugh. Cool. Okay, so there's our games for the games for the Game Club shortlist CD32 episode. That's going to be cool. Yeah, anything to wrap up with, boys, before we call this amazing episode to an end?
I still think we need to get nothing. I still think, you know, we talked about doing a Knight Rider episode forever ago. You brought it back up. We got to do that.
Yes, we definitely need to. Yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely. And I think that we'll do that episode. And I think what we should do with that episode is do everything encompassing Knight Rider rather than just trying to play Knight Rider games, because they're pretty bad.
Poor.
Across the board on everything that they're on. Even the PC Engine one, they're rubbish. But we'll give them a blast. But let's like cover the lot. So let's do the games. Let's do the TV show. Let's do the movie spin-off. Let's do the modern TV show they did.
Yep.
Wasn't the one? What was the one with the Knight Rider car? Was red?
That was called Knight Rider.
Team Knight Rider
2000.
Team Knight Rider.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so bad.
That was a TV movie. Yeah.
Let's do the lot.
Yeah, I'm totally. Let's do it all. So yeah, we'll have to start. You know, and even if you don't want to try and watch four seasons of Knight Rider, some people suggest you just like top 10 episodes, you know, of a series, and then you kind of watch those and kind of get your palate wet.
Well, do you know what? I mean, I've pretty much got them all and was watching all of them like last year, about a year ago. I was into like halfway through season three, I think. So I can just go back and finish that off. But it's great television. It was great.
Yeah, I'm excited to do that one. As you guys know, I'm a Knight Rider fan. So that one will be, that one will be fun to do. And what makes me nervous is, can I do it justice? You know, am I going to completely destroy one of my favorite things?
I'm sure you can. One man can make a difference, Mark. Remember that.
That's true. Yeah. That's great.
A shadowy flight of a man who does not exist.
Pretty good.
There he is.
Yeah.
Cool.
We keep threatening it.
We do. So we'll get that sorted, boys. So should we start to wrap up? Have we got any shout outs? I think this has been a good show. The listeners will let us know that they don't want us to do this again and that we should put some effort into research and stuff next time. But I've enjoyed this catch up, gents. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
Yes, big time. I think it's been quite a laugh, as usual. Shout outs, I will say hello to Paul Higgins. Mm-hmm. Paul was supposed to be buying a Sega Rally stand-up arcade cab, and he arranged with the guy to go and pick it up. And then next thing I know, someone else has bought it, and they're posting videos on YouTube about it. So, that was a bit dodgy, wasn't it? That's not very nice. So Paul's a bit down in the dumps about not getting a Sega Rally arcade cab. Alex Crowley of the Arcade Archive. Guys, do try and book your tickets for getting down there, because it is a great day out, and we will be there at some point. We'll even get Mark over.
I want to see that place so bad.
And Mads.
Yeah, I want to see the cave and the arcade archive. It looks so fun. I watch that stuff every week. So, love it.
Yeah, it's a good day out. Very recommended.
Nice.
Yes. About you guys, any shout-outs?
Mark?
Chris and Mads and Matt. You know, Matt's always gets one on the chin from everybody. So, you know, shout out to those guys. You know, I was only recording with them.
And to all our patrons.
Of course, the patrons. We did read off the list. Good night. One of those guys has got the most ridiculous name. Of course, they made me do it. It's like 1 a.m. and I'm trying to read off these names. That was good. Yeah. That's good stuff. Change up your names out there if you guys want to hear some ridiculous guys trying to read off. Anyway, yeah, shout out to the patrons. The Discord's always hopping. They helped me so much playing through Castlevania in real time. I was posting, okay, this is where I'm at. I don't know where to go. And then I would get messages instantly. Okay, go here and do this. So Discord's always a great place to go and chat. And you know, all the other podcasts that are out there. I mean, RGDS, those guys are, man, forget about those guys. Yeah. Man, they just threw out some huge 5-hour episodes for the Speccy. Now, that should be right up your alley, Dean. So I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't got 5 hours spare though. That's the
it's
trick.
Ten. Yeah, two, 10 hours.
Well, 10 hours. Yeah, it's a two-parter, wasn't it? Yeah,
it's two-parter, man. I posted a link to you, didn't I? Because I listened to it in the car, and the bit when Drisky just he farts like it's about 4 hours into the episode. He farts like 4 hours into this episode. He does. I didn't even know it was a fart. I thought it was like a weird little piston pump machine that his kid had brought into the room or something. Like he's just talking away. And then you just hear thump, 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 thump. But then he just outright loses it. Like, and he's got this like this like laugh of like a wheezy, like what's the dog off the cartoon?
Motley.
Motley. He's got a Motley laugh. And like Kingy keeps trying to like bring it back and like trying to control and he's gone, man. He's gone. And I was like literally had tears laughing in my car because once someone starts laughing hysterically, they, like I did on that 8-bit wars a couple of years ago, you're gone. And I was just laughing my head off. And then he went to a break and come back and it happened again. he just went again. It was very funny indeed. So yeah, good shout out for Kingy and Drisky, maybe. I think that's what RGDS stands for now, isn't it? Like retro gaming with Drisky and Kingy. that makes it DS, DS, retro gaming DS. No, forget it.
Nah, it's not going to work.
Retro gaming, Gordon, Drisky, S. Move on.
Yep,
I've lost
yep.
this.
So that's
thread of thoughts.
Yeah, there's my shouts. What about you, Steve? You got some shouts?
Some shouts. I've noticed when I listen to the Game Club that Mads likes to shout out other podcasts and stuff, but he never gives like us a shout out, like his other hosts. So my shout outs are to Chris, Matt, you, and Dean. and all our patrons, they're awesome. And like there's the perfect advert there, you've just said it about the patrons list, that if anyone wants to sign up to our patron list, please do, and come up with the most ridiculous name for us to read out or for Mark or whoever to read out. Please do. Like, write a name that's like 14 sentences long.
Keep it clean though. We are a family podcast. We try to be anyway. Yeah,
just no, we've got a beep button. Just go for it. Go mental. Just do it. It'd be even better if it's getting beeped. So, shout out. Sorry, shout out to all the other hosts, including Mads, but remember to shout us out, Mads. And all the other podcasts and all our patrons and listeners and everyone. Thank you very much for being awesome and keeping us alive.
Well done.
Cool. Right, until next time, guys, take care. Enjoy your games, and we shall see you soon.
Bye. See you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games.